Good morning. Man, it is so great to see you at Grace Church today. Thank you for being here, whether you are joining us online, you're in person. 12-1 is in the house this morning. They're excited about it too, I can tell. My son always looks forward to hearing me preach, don't you, son? Thank you, son. You're very kind. I was talking with my real estate agent. He was actually involved in a car accident. He was going 50-so miles an hour, and someone T-boned him. He had an interesting experience. He said he got hit, and he wasn't sure what's going on. The airbags deployed. He'd never been in a car before where the airbags deployed, and so he was surrounded by these white bags. And for a moment, he was like, is this it? Am I in heaven? You know, and then of course, all the powder from the airbags, and he starts choking, and the pain starts hitting in, and he climbs out of the car, and he realizes, no, this is not heaven. We're glad that you're here today. I want to ask you, if you have your Bibles, your Bible app, turn to James chapter 1. Just want to share something with you real quick, something that I really tried to share last week, and I just could not pull it together. This is one of the things that happens sometimes when you preach. You know, you get writer's block, you just kind of go dry, and nothing's coming, and then sometimes you have something, an idea, something that you want to share, you want to talk about, you feel like you need to share it, and it just doesn't come together. I don't know if it's still together, but I'm going to share it with you today. And it's from James, and James is going to deal with something that I think is a very important thing for us today. Maybe you've seen people in competition where they're getting close to the end, but something happens and they just kind of give out. Have you ever seen that? Maybe you've dealt with some situation, a trial, and you were like, man, I had patience for a while, but after a while, my patience, it just kind of gave out and I lost it. Anybody do that? Anybody do that while driving? It's one of the areas I have to work on. maybe it's in temptation. Maybe you've had a situation where you have been tempted, and you're fighting it, you're resisting it, but after a while, you just kind of wear down, and you're finally, okay, I quit, and you just surrender to the temptation. Anybody know what I'm talking? Don't raise your hands, please don't. No, this just is something that James is going to address, and he's going to speak to something that we all need in our lives if we're going to be able to deal with the trials, the obstacles in life, if we're going to deal with suffering in life, if we're going to deal with the temptations in life, if we want to get through these things, there's something that we need in us that God wants to do to us, and I want to talk with you about that briefly today. He begins in James chapter 1, verse 1, and he says, James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. So James is writing to, he identifies the people who he's writing to. And he goes into verse 2 and he says this, consider it pure joy, my brothers, my sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. And the first thing I want to say here is you see this is that it says whenever you face trials. It doesn't say if, okay? And so this is so important because we sometimes think, or believe or feel like we shouldn't have to experience trials and troubles and problems, that somehow we should have answers for that and it shouldn't be an issue anymore. But the reality is trials are a normal part of life. If trials have been a normal part of your life, would you raise your hand? Okay, I want y'all to look because this is true, all right? It's hands were up everywhere. If you're watching online, hands were up everywhere in this building. Trials are a normal part of life. So should we expect them in our lives? Yes. You can respond. It's okay. Yes, we should expect them. We should expect them in our lives. We shouldn't act surprised if we start experiencing hardships, if we experience problems, if we experience difficulties. It shouldn't surprise us. And yet sometimes we're just like, have you ever been outside or driving down the road and this storm hits suddenly, unexpectedly, and you're like, man, wow, that was crazy. That was insane. I just didn't expect that. I didn't see that coming at all. And sometimes that's almost the way it's like we've used storms or trials in our lives. Like, I wasn't expecting that at all. Well, why not? They're a normal part of life. That doesn't mean they're fun, but they are a normal part of life. So we shouldn't be surprised when we face trials. They're going to happen. And James says that when we have them, how should we face them? We should consider it. Ooh, I don't have time to stay here, but consider it pure joy. It doesn't make any sense. There was a song when I was growing up as a kid I heard, and it said, put on a happy face. And it says, gray skies are going to clear up, put on a happy face. Wipe off the clouds and cheer up, put on a happy face. So when he says to consider it pure joy, is he just telling us to put on a happy face? Is he telling us to put on a mask, to pretend that everything in life is fine when it isn't? No, that is not what James is saying. He is going to acknowledge the gravity of trials, of the temptations that we face, of the situations that we go through, but he wants us to consider how to look at them, to look at them in unexpected ways, to view them in a way that is opposite of the way that others might view them. And listen, it is a contrary view to look at trials in life and to consider it with pure joy. That is something contrary to what is normal in our hearts and life. And yet that is what he tells us to do, to consider it pure joy when we go through these trials. Why? He answers that question. Listen to what he says. Verse 3. Because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. You heard had to persevere through something? And let's be honest for a moment. Perseverance isn't needed when you're at the beach, soaking up the sun, feet lapping in the waves, you know. You just don't need it with a cold drink in your hand. You don't need perseverance then, do you? You need perseverance when there's hardship, there's trouble, when you're going through a trial, when you're suffering, when you're dealing with difficulty, when you're dealing with temptation. That's when you need perseverance. Let me try to explain what James is saying here about this view that we can have. Okay? Is discipline, I'm going to change the subject, but I'm going to show you how it connects. Is discipline good or bad? Is it positive or negative? It really depends, doesn't it? It depends on how you frame it. Because some of you have experienced discipline in life, and it was harsh, it was unloving, it was more punishment than it was anything else. But the reality is that without discipline, this is so important, please hear me on this. Without discipline, we will never, ever achieve good things, much less great things in life. If you want to achieve something in life, you need discipline. If you want to learn to program a computer, you have to have discipline to learn how to do it. If you want to learn to play a musical instrument, you need to have discipline to do it. Who'd like to win a medal in the Olympics? That would be really cool, wouldn't it? Well, you don't get there without discipline. And just because you're disciplined doesn't guarantee you get the medal. But the thing is, what I want you to see is discipline is needed. We can have an extremely negative view of discipline, an attitude towards it, because it isn't pleasant, it isn't fun, it isn't great to sacrifice, to give up things. And yet what I have found is that our attitude shapes the way we frame our experiences. Let me say that again. Our attitude will shape the way we frame our experiences. For instance, when we talk about God's discipline, it's always for our good and it's always for our growth. It is constructive, not destructive. So how should we view discipline? Positive and good, right? That's how we should do it. And we should have a positive attitude towards discipline. And the same is true when it comes to trials. We can frame it in such a way, it's not putting on a happy face, it's not pretending everything's all right, it's simply considering it in a different light and understanding that just as God works in discipline for our good and for our benefit, God works in trials for the same purpose in the same way. He works them for our good, he works them for our benefit, even though they're not always pleasant or fun. And so when we view trials properly, we find reasons for joy. Because they aren't meant to destroy us, they are meant to help our faith in him grow. Let me ask a question. What would happen? How would our lives be positively impacted if we framed our trials in this light. I have watched people face bad situations in life. Two people going through very similar, the same things. And I have seen those same two people come with completely different outcomes in life. One is blessed, the other one is broken, the other one is better, and the other person is bitter. And do you know what made the difference? It's how they framed what they were going through, how they framed their experiences, how they looked at them, what their attitude was towards them. Listen, see, you don't even need to be a Christian. I have seen people who aren't Christians who understand that the attitude that you have in something determines your outcome, how you come out of it. And this is especially true as people of faith. We need to have the right attitude in our trials, in our troubles. This is not fun, is it? But this is true. We need to have the right attitude in them to consider it pure joy, because God is working for our benefit. God is working for our good. God is working to mature and grow and develop our faith so that when we come out of it, we're not bitter. We're not angry at God. We're not, you know, frustrated and angry at the world. Rather, we're happy. We're grateful for what God has done in us and through that difficult time and place. James says that we have to develop perseverance, but that comes about by the testing of our faith. And let's be honest, if our faith wasn't tested, we would never develop perseverance, would we? We would. Testing is necessary. When I was in high school many years ago, I took photography class. Anybody? Okay, a couple people, that's nice. Listen, we have to go old school tech here, okay? I mean, this isn't like take a picture with your phone and then you can just send it something and print it. You know, this was like old tech school. You had a 35 millimeter single lens reflex camera with multiple camera attachments that you would get to it. They just had to fit with the right one. And you would take that and you would actually load film into it. Anybody remember this process? You would do that and you would go and you would zoom and focus, and you would take your pictures, and when everything was done, and here's what we learned about this. It wasn't just about taking pictures. It was about how to develop those pictures. And so we would go into a dark room after everything was done. I mean, it was a blacked out room. And we would go into the room, and we would take the camera, and you had to do this all by feel. And we would take this camera, and we would open it up, and we would pull the film out of it, the undeveloped film, and we would have to feed this into this thing that would lock it into, and then we'd put it in this container and seal it in and pour chemicals in it, and we'd shake it. And after about, I don't know, 10 minutes, I don't remember exactly what it was, the film would become negatives. But it wasn't over. Then we had to take the negatives, and we had to go into the dark room. And in the dark room, we'd put the negative on an enlarger, and we would put a piece of photoreceptive paper down. And we would shine the light from the enlarger, from the negative, onto the picture. And then we would take and give it a bath in three different chemicals for black and white. And then we would hang it up and let it dry. And it was a process. Let me tell you, it didn't just happen. It was a process. And what I want you to see today is it's the same thing that James is talking about here. That there is a process that happens when we are going through trials, and how it impacts our faith. And considering it pure joy is essential to our outcome in this. And the word that I want to get deep in your heart and deep in your spirit today is the word perseverance. I almost feel like one of those kid programs. This show was brought to you today by the word, you know, the letter P, the word perseverance. Would you say that with me? Perseverance. Yeah. And here's what James says. Listen to the importance of perseverance. He says, perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So it is a process. There is a process. Perseverance works when you're going through trials and you're considering it pure joy. It has a work to finish. And we're not fans of process, are we? Because process takes time. We want it to be over. We want it to be done with. We want to rush through it. We want to get to the exit as soon as we can. And yet you can't do that. Rome wasn't built in a day, And neither is a mature and complete faith that lacks nothing. It just doesn't happen that way. There's no drive-through for faith that's mature and complete. You can't get it any other way than through perseverance. And when we go through things that we have to persevere through, what do? We like to get out as soon as we can. We have, at best, we have the focus on the end. Just get me out of here as quickly as I can, get it over and done with, right? But what happens, and this is so important, when we get focused on the end, we miss what God is doing in the middle. We get so focused on getting out of it that we miss what God is doing in it. He is developing. He is maturing. He is strengthening our faith in Him so that it will be mature and complete, lacking nothing. And you can't get there without perseverance. And you know what that means? When we want the escape hatch, we want to exit, we want the early ramp off, we can't do that. Because sometimes the only way out is through. I know that's not encouraging, is it? Sometimes, though, the only way out of your trial, the only way out of your temptation, the only way out of whatever it is that you're dealing with is to go through it. And to go through it with joy, considering it joy, not masking, not pretending, but realizing that whatever it is you're facing and going through, that God is in the process. And in that, He is doing something in your heart and life to give birth to something in your life that will change you, that will transform you. And rather than praying, God, show me how to get out of here, make this end, take it away, maybe what we ought to pray is, God, help me to see what you're doing. Help me to grow. Help me to change. Help me to become more like Jesus. God, help me to persevere through this. Because I know that you're working. I know that you are going to take this trial, this issue, this situation, and you're going to do something deep in me, a work in me. So help me to persevere through the process until you bring me out so that my faith will be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Jesus was facing the cross. Isn't it amazing we always come back to Jesus? We do, and we ought to. We come back to Jesus. He's facing the cross. And everything that it entails, all the pain, the hardship, the sorrow, the suffering, the injustice, and death. And knowing that He was going to experience all of this, I want you to hear His response. In Isaiah 50, verse 7, it's about the servant, which speaks to Jesus. It says this, "Because the sovereign Lord helps me, I will not be disgraced. Therefore," listen to what it says, "because God, I'm trusting in Him, and because God is my help, I'm not going to be disgraced. Therefore, have I set my face like flint, and I will not be put to shame." Listen to what's happening here. Jesus didn't harden His heart because of what He was going to face and go through. He hardened His resolve. He set His face like flint. He said, "I know I'm in this, and I know I'm going through it. This is God's will for my life. It's what I'm going to have to do, but I know what God is going to do in it and through it. And so, God, I'm submitting myself to You, and I'm setting my face like a flint so that I will not be deterred from Your purpose, from Your promises, from Your will. Because sometimes the only way out is through." And you know what? Jesus did that. And He did it with joy. We read a few weeks ago about how for the joy set before Him, Jesus endured the cross. He persevered through the cross, scorning its shame. He did it with joy. And when you and I trust our Heavenly Father, He brings help to us. We have Jesus Christ, our High Priest, who gives us grace. And we have the Spirit of God who indwells us, who comforts us. And as we trust in God, who is our help, we will not be disgraced. We will not be put to shame, because God is not in the habit of failing His children. And that's why faith with perseverance boldly declares this. This may sound a little shocking, but it's true. But faith that perseveres boldly declares this. It says, I've got this because God's got me. I'm setting my face like a flint. I've got this because God's got me. It's really not about me. It's about God who's got me. But because he's got me, I've got this. I want to make sure that's clear. It's not about my strength. It's not about my ability. It's not about me, me, me. It's about him. It's about the one that loves me. It's about the one that holds me. It's about the one that guides and directs me. It's about the one who pours out his love into my heart and my life. It's about the one who gives me hope and gives me encouragement. He's got me. And because he's got me, I've got this. Perseverance isn't a passive thing. Nobody just chances into perseverance. It doesn't happen that way. Any more than weightlifting. Anybody like lifting weights? Yeah? Are you awake? Are you asleep? I don't know. Am I talking too much? You know, one of the things about, lifting weights, there's a good similarity here with weightlifting and building muscle and faith and perseverance. Because when you lift weights, man, you've got some weight on you. And I don't know if you've watched some people, this, and they're like trying to push that thing up, and it's crushing them, and their strength, they can't get it off. They need some help, right? And sometimes we need help, right? We need brothers. We need sisters. We need people who will stand with us, who will help us when we're going through trials and troubles and tribulations and temptations. We need that. But as we exercise, as we grow, we begin to persevere. Things that we couldn't deal with before, suddenly we can deal with because we have developed our muscle. And in the same way, as we go through trials, here's how trials work in our lives. Our faith is like a muscle, and the trial is how we persevere. And as we persevere through the trial, our faith develops so it becomes mature and complete, not lacking anything. And here's how it ends, because we've got to wrap up. Praise the Lord. We've got to wrap up because we got some baptisms to do, and I'm excited. Listen to what James says in verse 12. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. Let's hold there for just a moment. Blessed. Because you and I have seen people who are striving and trying, and they come up just short. They didn't persevere. Oh, they almost had it. They almost made it. They almost did it. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, when you have stood the test, you will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Blessed is the one who perseveres. You're blessed if you. I love stories of perseverance because they encourage me to persevere. Have you ever noticed that? You see someone who triumphs over something, and it encourages you to triumph over something, right? Doesn't it? It kind of, there's just something about that. And you go, man, they're blessed. I can't. It's not just because they got through it and it's over with, but because of what they sustained and what they dealt with through it. They persevered. They made it. Tony Evans tells a story about his son, a father who was talking to his son, and his son had this habit of just quitting, giving up too easy, giving up too early. And here's what the father said to the son. He said, son, you've got to hang in there and not quit. Look at Abraham Lincoln. He did not quit. Look at Thomas Edison. He failed over and over again, yet he did not quit. Look at Douglas MacArthur. He did not quit. And then he said to his son, he said, look at Elmo McCringle. And his son said, what? Wait, who's Elmo McCringle? And his dad said, exactly. You never heard of him because he didn't persevere. He didn't make it to the end. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Persevere. You are writing your story, and God is writing your story. Persevere. That's a word, that's something, perseverance, that we all need in our life, because we all deal with trials, with temptations, with troubles, with suffering. And we will not get through them and come out better unless we learn to persevere. We need to learn to persevere. Paul, writing to some friends who were going through great difficulty, who were very dear to him, he writes them and he says these words. It's kind of a prayer. He says, "May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance." May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. Why did he write those two things? I think there's, let's deal with the first. Why did he pray that God would direct their hearts into his love? Because it's simply this. When we are going through trials, when we're going through troubles, when we're going through testing, when we're going through sorrow, when we're going through suffering, one of the things that we begin to doubt first and foremost is whether or not God loves us. And one of the things that will help us to persevere is to understand that these things are a normal part of life. It has nothing to do with whether or not God loves us. God established the fact that he loves us on the cross. Hear me on this. Your Father in heaven loves you. You are loved. It doesn't matter what you're going through, what you're facing. He loves you. Don't allow doubt to creep in and cause you to think otherwise. So may the Lord direct your hearts into God's love. May your hearts be directed into God's love for you. Know the height, the depth, the breadth of his love for you. And second, into Christ's perseverance. And why Christ's perseverance? It's simply this. There is only one who has never sinned, who has never faltered under trial, who has never yielded to temptation, who faced suffering, and he endured the breadth of it and persevered. And he is our Savior. He is our brother. He is our high priest in heaven who understands when we're facing those kind of things. And our hearts need to be directed to him because, first of all, he's gone the length, the breadth. He's dealt with it. He's gone through it to the very end. He has persevered to the very end. So he is able to help us to persevere. And he gives us grace in those moments. Like I said, it's not about our strength and our ability. It's about what he has done for us. And so may the Lord direct your hearts to God's love for you and into Christ's perseverance. Jesus is not just an example that we follow. He is our brother, and he comes along, and he helps us. May he direct your hearts into God's love and to Christ's perseverance. I want to pray for you. And if you're going through a difficult place today, would you just call out to the Lord today? Call out for strength. Call out for help. Stop pretending. If you need help, talk to someone. It's not a sign of weakness to ask for help. It's a sign of strength. It's a recognition of your limitations. Heavenly Father, we come to you today, and I thank you for this little word of encouragement that James gives us. We're all going to face trials and troubles and temptations and issues in life. They're not going to be pleasant. They're not going to be fun. But because of God's love, because of Jesus, we can consider them pure joy. Because God, you work in those situations. And what you're doing is to develop in us a perseverance, a faith that perseveres. Because when we learn to persevere, we become people who are mature and complete. We lack nothing. And so I ask, Father, that you would bless those today, especially those that are here, that are going through difficulty and trouble. Would you comfort them by your love? Would you remind them how much you love them? Would you cause all doubt or fear that you don't love them to just be erased? Would you overwhelm them with your presence in their lives and let them know that you love them? And Father, in the same breath, I pray that we would experience the perseverance of Christ, that just as Jesus endured the length, the breadth, everything that there is, he's gone to the full end. He has experienced it, And now he is our high priest who is able to give us grace, mercy, and help in our time of need. And may we look to you because you are the author and the finisher of our faith. And Lord, as we go through trials, instead of praying to get to the end of them, which is so easy to pray, would you help us instead to pray and see what it is that you're doing in us? And I thank you for that today in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen.